In our Chavurah, the one that meets at my house, we are discussing the book Son of David by Stuart Dowerman, in which Stuart describes his plan for restoring the Messianic Jewish movement to its purpose. Having known Stuart for many years, and I consider him a good friend, he may even be more of a friend with my wife Sherry because she always remembers to get him a room at the conference when he doesn't think about it, but nevertheless, he's a good friend. I would like to point out that it is typical of Stuart to criticize the very movement that he has spent his entire life building up. That's just the way he is. He does that kind of thing. He was one of the original Jews for Jesus. He played on the Jews for Jesus worship team. Everybody remember the name of the Jews for Jesus worship team? Liberated Wailing Wall. That's right. Liberated Wailing Wall. He composed many songs that are now famous. And he led, at least in the Messianic Jewish world they are, he led a Messianic Jewish congregation for a number of years. And he created and helped establish the Hashivenu Forum, which serves as a theological arena for discussing significant issues that Messianic Judaism faces. And by way of honoring Stuart's accomplishments, I should mention that at a recent UMJC conference, annual conference, he was presented with a Life Achievement Award, a very prestigious award, which, by the way, was also granted to our Dan Juster, among others. So in this book, it's so small, you almost could call it a pamphlet. Stuart makes an interesting assertion about the sins of the Jewish people. And that's the title of my message, The Sins of the Jewish People. The Sins of the Jewish People. He says that the sins of the Jewish people are twofold, disobeying Torah and rejecting God's messengers. And he points out that it was for these sins that Jews were exiled from the land of promise. Now, in speaking about the sins of the Jewish people today, there are two things I would like you to keep in mind. First, I am not looking at the sins of the Jewish people as a reason to criticize, reject, persecute, or hate our people. Amen. That, unfortunately, is exactly what many people do when they talk about the sins of the Jewish people. They use their discussion to point their fingers at the Jews and to justify their own place as the redeemed who have taken the place of the Jews in God's divine plan. That is replacement theology, and that is not why I am talking about the sins of the Jewish people. The second thing to keep in mind is that I am not ignoring the sins of everyone else. Usually when we talk about sins, preachers get a lot of amens from various corners of the room. That is until they start talking about the sins of the people in the corners of the room. And I will touch on the sins of the nations, those who are not the chosen people, of whom Hashem said, I will be your God and you will be my people. So, everybody else. But it's not my primary purpose to elaborate on the sins of the nations. So, anyone who speaks on sin usually has one purpose, to evoke repentance in the people who are listening. So, I want to first take a look at what repentance looks like. Repentance is when you stop doing the wrong thing and start doing the right thing. That was a pretty complicated theological definition, right? Repentance is when you stop doing the wrong thing and start doing the right thing. Some people think repentance is when you ask God to forgive you of your sins and invite Yeshua into your heart. Well, we'll talk about that. Too often we hear about people going to the altar to dedicate their lives to God, and they return to their chairs and they return to their old lives. At the first sign of temptation, they ask themselves, What happened? They're thinking, I gave my heart to God and he forgave me. Why am I all of a sudden starting to get the same old thoughts? They're confused. They thought that when they gave their life to God, that they would no longer have those thoughts. Temptations are going to stop coming. Having Yeshua living inside of you will stop you from sinning, they thought. But I'm here to tell you that in order to stop sinning, you have to stop sinning. Again, a complicated theological concept. And start doing what is right. Now, for a Jew, whether we like it or not, we are called to be the people who live according to Torah. Our disobedience to Torah was part of what led to our exile and Israel being overrun by her enemies. I find it interesting that an Orthodox Jewish theologian by the name of Michael Visegrad said, when he was asked about the state of Israel and the people who are living there now and their government, he responded by pointing out that he trembles at what will happen if Jews don't live according to Torah in the modern state of Israel. The land, he said, is holy, and our people have a history of being removed from the land when we don't keep the Torah. So he's concerned. So repentance for the Jewish people, if we accept that our sins include being disobedient to Torah, repentance is to start obeying the Torah. Now, this may seem to fly in the face of what many grace preachers say. You cannot be saved by keeping the law. Actually, both of these statements are true. You cannot be saved by good works. And if you are Jewish, repenting involves keeping Torah. Both of those statements are true. So how do they fit together? See, the salvation that we're speaking about here is the result of God's grace. When we stop living our lives for ourselves and start living our lives toward God. Yeshua once said, "No man comes to me unless the Father draws him." For those who think that salvation comes from accepting Yeshua, you need to consider whether it's even possible to accept Yeshua without being drawn by God to do so. Yeshua said it's not. If you want to be an evangelist, if you want to preach the gospel, if you want to win souls, those who win souls are wise, you better find out what God is doing in the lives of the people to whom you are speaking. How is the Father drawing them? I would like to see more preachers begin their messages with a disclaimer. I'm not speaking to everyone in the room today. I'm only speaking to those whom the Father is drawing to himself. Everyone else can go about their business. Please don't let me disturb you. But for those of you for whom God is drawing, I want to talk about Yeshua. That'd be a good start to a message, wouldn't it? Since Yeshua is fully man and fully God, when we talk about Yeshua, we are talking about God. And what does God have to say to the Jews? Repent, for the kingdom of God has drawn near. Be immersed into Yeshua, for your sins to be removed, and receive the Holy Spirit. But if there is remission of sins, and for the Jewish people, sin is disobeying the Torah, then in forgiveness and removal of sin, this means to obey the Torah. Salvation comes by the grace of being drawn by the Father back to your original purpose, to glorify God as a Jew is to obey Torah. Now, we can talk about what that means. There's a lot of discussion going on right now in the Messianic Jewish movement between leaders in the Messianic Jewish movement. I get all the posts online in a particular forum that is only for leaders. And there's a lot of discussion going on about what it means to keep Torah in today's world as a Jew and as a follower of Yeshua. But there is no contradiction between being saved and keeping Torah. Scriptures tell us that The Torah is life to those who do it. The words of the Torah are life to those who do it. Does this contradict the idea that we cannot be saved by doing good works? No. When we do good works, if we are doing them in order to get close to God, then we are wrongly motivated. If we are doing them because we want to be saved apart from God, we are also wrongly motivated. But if we are doing good works because the love of God compels us, then we are doing those things for which we were created. Those are the things for which we were created. So it's only by God's grace that we are saved. It's in His grace that we place our hope, even our confidence, knowing that nothing we can do adds to our salvation. The more we have sinned, the more God's grace is made evident, but we don't keep sinning so as to cause grace to abound. So if we were saved, Paul's letter to the followers of Yeshua in Ephesus says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Messiah Yeshua for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The second sin of the Jewish people is rejecting the messengers God sends. Usually the message of the messengers is to call the people to repentance. But in order to even hear the voice of the messenger, we have to repent of rejecting the messenger. Not everyone who says he is a messenger from God, right? There are liars. How do we know whether a messenger is from God? That he is not speaking anything against God's word, for one thing. That he doesn't promote the worship of idols, for another. And the content of the message addresses real concerns that God has toward his people. Does this message encourage people to return to God and His righteousness? Or does the message promote the messenger and his own private interests? Sometimes it's even hard for a preacher to preach about things like attending services or tithing, because it sounds like the preacher is just trying to secure his own ministry, his sustenance, his future well-being. And I'm not speaking against tithing or against attendance. I think those are important. But only you can judge whether I am speaking in my own best interest or in yours. Unfortunately, we're on page 4, so get ready. So repentance for Jewish people includes receiving the messenger and the message. And that is what we are doing when we, as Jews, say, Baruch Haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is repentance for rejecting the messenger. And obeying the Torah is repentance for rejecting the message. When King David sinned with Bathsheba, he wrote the following in Psalm 51. This was after the prophet Nathan came and convicted him. He said, Lev tahor bara li Elohim beruach nachon chadesh bekirbi. A clean heart create in me, O God, and a steadfast spirit renew within me. In today's message, I spoke about the sins of the Jewish people. Are the nations called to keep the Torah? Are the nations called to keep the Torah? Are the nations called? Yes and no. I'll give you the good Jewish answer. Yes and no. Israel's call to Torah was to be a blessing to the nations. By keeping Torah, all the nations would see and behold the blessings which God bestowed on Israel for their obedience. In this way, they would honor God for His faithfulness. And they would learn from the Jewish people how to incorporate the principles of Torah into their own lives. This is the divine will for the nations, that they would learn from the Jews how to receive God's blessings in their own lands. So is Torah good for the nations? Absolutely. But look at the difference. If the Jewish people will keep the Torah, the nations will also be blessed. But if the nations keep the Torah, they will be blessed to the extent that they also honor the divine messenger. The divine relationship between God and his people. If a nation keeps the Torah but persecutes the Jewish people, they will be guilty of rejecting the messenger. No matter how much Torah they keep, rejecting the messenger cannot result in blessing. If a Gentile comes to Yeshua because the Father is turning all the nations toward him in these days, but he doesn't see that Yeshua, as the son of David, is a Jew, and that he is king of the Jews, and that his relationship with the Jewish people is part of his relationship with Yeshua. In other words, that Gentile's relationship with the Jewish people is part of his relationship with Yeshua. He cannot be blessed. I'm not saying he doesn't find life. He cannot be blessed. So it turns out that in the end, this wasn't just a message for the Jewish people. It was for all of us. I would encourage all of us to consider what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Go in peace. Amen.